This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings. Welcome to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, our weekly podcast where we ponder and proclaim the Sunday Mass readings. We have entered the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time on this last day of August. We move into, for us in the U.S., the Labor Day weekend, and it's typically this transition to back to school. I know some of you have already started school. I've seen school buses all over the place, but it is an interesting time in our seasons where we get maybe close to the fall season. It's coming in September, and a time for us to reflect on God's presence in our lives. As we get to this 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we've been really grateful for the bounty of fruits and vegetables we've been able to harvest in our own garden and in the gardens of our neighbors, I want to serve to you as a theme: humble pie. So we're going to talk a little bit about humble pie and maybe eating humble pie, maybe preparing humble pie in our daily lives as a thread for these readings. I want to begin with the collect for today's Holy Mass on this 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let us pray. God of might, giver of every good gift, put into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. Listen to these words of the collect prayer. Sometimes there's just these few little words that are going to come up in the scriptures. Giver of every good gift is our God. Think about the gifts that you have been given. Sometimes when we hear the word gift, at least I think about, you know, a birthday gift or a Christmas gift, something that's wrapped in a pretty package. What are the gifts? So many times they're invisible gifts. They're the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive. In this prayer, we're asking for in our hearts to be the name of Jesus, to be the name of God, to put love in our hearts, the love of God's name in the most depths of our hearts, and that we are deepened by a sense of reverence. You know, when we approach God, are we reverent? When we speak of God, are we reverent? When we read the scriptures, are we reverent? To nurture in us what is good. Do we ask for that, to be nurtured in what is good, and that God will have a watchful care over us to keep us safe? Those children of God. What a beautiful collect prayer to ponder on this day. A reading from the book of Sirach. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water
quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. The word of the Lord. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. The just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. The father of orphans and the defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. A bountiful rain you showered down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished. Your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided it for the needy. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, and a blazing fire, and gloomy darkness, and storm, and a trumpet blast, and a voice speaking words, such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion, and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels and festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than of Abel. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I said humble pie, and maybe I have pie and all of those wonderful things of the summer season on my mind. But boy, the book of Sirach, you know, the book of Sirach and the book of Proverbs and also even in the Psalms, there are these great wisdom books. And the first line, the first scripture in Sirach 1:1 is this. And listen to this. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and with him it remains forever. All wisdom is from the Lord. Wisdom isn't coming from me. It's a gift. In fact, when we ask for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we're asking for, you know, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, ways in which for us to understand things, maybe to resign to be understood, ways in which we can know. But it comes from God. It's not, I'm wisdom, I'm the mind. There's a gift that God gives. And here's this book of Sirach, and each of the chapters are these little instructions to daily life, really, if you look at them. And so this is an instruction about humility, the whole chapter of chapter three. We only get a little bit of chapter three of Sirach, of this way of being humble. And my child, you know, these are just these teachings. Conduct yourself, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than the giver of gifts. So maybe you think about somebody who showers others with these temporal gifts, with these monetary gifts. And you may be grateful for that. But when you conduct yourself with humility, there will be even a greater love. And you will be greater in that humility, resigning to God's will instead of your will. I love this line, what is too sublime for you, seek not. Know your boundaries. Know your boundaries and what your gifts and abilities are, and don't strive to go further so that you might be better. Sometimes our culture, well, a lot of times our culture leads us to think, well, if you can do it all, I remember in growing up, really being conditioned to be a woman in the 80s, you know, you were supposed to have this career job and wear a business suit and be able to raise a family and to be able to do balance all of these different things. And that's the you know, to do it all. That's not necessarily true success. In fact, a lot of times that's a great failure, that you're not living out your true vocation, you know, as a mother, as a wife, with the heart of the home. What is too sublime for you? Seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. Don't go beyond, not that you're not going to strive and do strive to perfection. I want to do these things well. Yes, we want to do things well to glorify God, to use the gifts God has given us in this, in my family, in the work that I'm called to do, in the ministries that I'm doing. But don't try to be somebody that you're not. We have these heroes, quote, the athletes and the actors and all of these people who maybe have done accomplished feats. The one who's won, you know, this golfing tournament. Don't strive to be that. Strive to be who you are, who God created you to be. So many times we strive to be things that we're not, in order to be who we're not. And we're not acknowledging the beauty that God has created us to be. So don't search beyond you. God's created you in his image and likeness to be beautiful. You're beautiful for who you are. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs. Spend more time listening than talking. I want to be the one that's noticed. I want to be the one who is teaching. Let God teach through you. So many of us have the opportunity, whether it is in a real classroom or whether it is in connecting with people in our day-to-day lives, may they learn a bit of wisdom through our conversation, and that wisdom is our love of God. So whether we're in an OCIA journey of journeying with people to prepare to become Christians, to become Catholics in the Catholic Church, to have unity in the church. It's in our example. It's in who we are. It's in whose we are. Do we chant praise to the name of the Lord and rejoice and exalt before God, as the psalm says? In this letter to the Hebrews, we've been hearing a lot from the Hebrews in these last few weeks in the Sunday readings. And there's this contrast of how God was accessed, or this limit to how we could access God in the Old Testament. You know, as we see the burning bush with Moses, and that God gives to Moses the Ten Commandments and the cloud of fire and the mountain. You know, there was this fear, there was this distance of the people and God. And then there is these in between the prophets who would try to give us a sense of God's mission and his call. Moses, of course, being the mediator between God and man. And no, now you've approached Mount Zion. Now the veil has been lifted. Now there is access to God. And we know it's through Jesus Christ, because of the sprinkling of his blood. Now he's approached us as intimately as the Holy Eucharist, that we can even touch God on our tongues. That's how close God has come to us, so that we could become like him. He became one of us. And we hear this reflected in the letter to the Hebrews. Every week, it seems like for the last few weeks, and we get so many of the parables, the teachings of Jesus in our gospel readings. This is coming from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And Jesus has been invited to a dinner. And again, every time there are these encounters, it seems like, with Jesus and the leading Pharisees, the leaders of the church, the elders, the lawyers and the sages, so to speak, of the day, they're always looking at Jesus. And you know what's interesting is they're looking at Jesus not to try to understand him, not to try to see what is it about him. We've heard these things about of the multiplication of loaves and fishes, of these men preaching, of these healings of different kinds. They're not inviting him and surrounding themselves with him in order to try to understand him or try to let his teaching come into their hearts. They are looking for something to pick apart. They're looking for a way to turn him in. They're looking for a way to say he's false. Their intentions are hardening their hearts. So now all of a sudden I'm here to discredit you. Instead of listening, you know, how do we approach our neighbor? How do we approach the person on the street? Is it to immediately judge? And so now our hearts are closed for God to even work in that interaction. And so the people here who are inviting Jesus aren't really preparing themselves to listen to the gospel. They've shut themselves down. So now they're striving not to be humble. There's no humble pie being served at this dinner. Jesus is trying to serve them humble pie. In fact, he's going to humiliate them in his teaching. Listen to this. He's noticing how they're choosing their place of honor. So what's most important in coming to this gathering isn't that this is a gathering of friends and joy and unity, but now I want to be better than you. I want to have the better position. I want to have the most recognition of the host. You know, I think about just the gatherings, whether we come together for, quote, coffee and donuts, we call it hospitality after Mass. You know, is it I'm better than you? We're sitting around the table sharing a cup of coffee and a little snack, but we're all God's children. And I want to know what's happening in your life. I'm not here to better you or to be better. But this was the fallacy of the Pharisees, is they wanted to be the better one. They wanted to be the teacher. And guess what? The teacher, capital T, truth, was with them, and they didn't see it. Give your place to this man. So you've taken the best spot in the house. You know, here's the head table, and they're going to be served a little bit better wine, and they're going to be served a little bit better dessert. I want to be there. I want to be recognized, because then next week somebody's going to say, oh, did you see Mr. So-and-so? He was at the head table. But Jesus says, don't do that, because the host is going to come and take you and say, you know what? Somebody even bigger than you is here. I need you to sit at that lower table. I need to have a spot here for this person. And you are going to be embarrassed. You're going to be belittled. Rather, when you're invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he might say, friend, move up to a higher position. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he says directly to the host, maybe getting a sense of the reason why this host picked the people to be at this place. You guys are all going to be, you're all the intellects of the community. And I've invited Jesus here so you all can start to kind of intellectualize what he's all about. I don't know. But he said, don't invite your friends and brothers or relatives or wealthy neighbors in case you may have repayment, but invite the poor, the sick, the lowly, the blind, because of their inability to repay. Give because it's right to give. Don't give expecting something in return. Don't give with this focus, well, if I give over here, then they're going to notice and I'm going to receive something. What are your intentions? A lot of this is about our heart. To really step back and think, Jesus is asking us about this humility of the heart. What is our intention for why we do what we do? Is it so I get recognized and because I want my ideas to be the top ideas? Or is it because I want to love and serve and reflect God? There's a wonderful reflection from Pope Benedict. Anytime I can read something attributed to Pope Benedict, I want to read. And so it's in the Magnificat for this August edition. And he has a whole writing about divine manners, which Jesus is kind of chiding them a little bit about their manners and how they're conducting themselves in this dinner, in this activity of politics and policy and who's the best. But Pope Benedict writes this: all his life, from Bethlehem to Nazareth to Golgotha, Jesus took the lowest place. What he says in this parable is verifying in the whole of his life and suffering. Jesus isn't just saying this and not backing it up with his own life. His own life was all humility, born in a stable, born in poverty, being in exile, needing to leave. You know, his family was in danger. And throughout his life, he lived in obscurity. He didn't choose his members of his community, the apostles, from the intellects, from the most wealthy families, from the most well-educated. He picked fishermen, tax collectors, people that people didn't even like. And then the Gentiles were allowed to come into his community, and then everybody would be part of his family. Jesus was the lowest, took the lowest space. Pope Benedict says he was always on the side of the lowest and the last. And through him, those who are the lowest and the last became the highest and the first. You think of the little flower, St. Therese of Lisieux, the little way, 24 years old, she died, a Carmelite nun, in obscurity, but has become a doctor of the church because of her total love and surrender to Jesus Christ, the mercy of God. Indeed, listen to this. Indeed, he became so completely identified in his life and teaching with the lowest place that he has made himself present with us, not only in the Eucharist, but also in the least of men. Quote, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. As we reach out to the lowly, we reach out to Jesus. As we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, as we humble ourselves, we're reflecting God's love in the world. My child, conduct yourself, conduct your affairs with humility. And today, and always, let's eat a little humble pie. Let us pray. Father of holiness, great is your generosity to us, your servants. May we draw ever closer to you in our desire for sanctity, that we may one day stand before you on the holy mountain of Zion, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.